Welcome to Eye on the Illini. This is the Arkansas State post-game breakdown. This is Illini guy Mike Kegley. I'm here with Kedrick Prince, the director of recruiting for Illini guys. And I'm going to say something. Kedrick was the first guy on the bandwagon for Coleman Hawkins last year. And he was the guy saying Coleman needs more time. And Coleman has a ton of potential that we haven't even seen the surface scratched yet. And tonight we got to see Coleman Hawkins get his first collegiate double-double. Had an incredible first half with 14 points, 8 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 block shots. Just was doing everything, even having a steal. He was doing everything. To me, the last two games, we got to see him play the point forward, and now we've seen him just totally dominate a half. Kedrick, what's it like to be the guy who was steps ahead of everybody else?
Well, first of all, thanks for having me. I'm glad to be on again tonight, Mike, after a good win. You know what? I'm glad to hear you say that. I've been a Coleman Hawkins fan because I saw things last year early on, and I mentioned this before in the Baylor game. I think a lot of times, a lot of these kids, they're in a numbers game, you know, and I thought he was a numbers game last year because, you know, Georgie was coming off one of his better years, and you had Kofi, and Jacob Graniston was an older kid, so it was hard for him to get minutes. And I'm going to tell you another guy who I think is going to be that guy next year is RJ Melendez. He's done some great things when he gets in the game, but the problem is there's just not enough minutes to go around, and we talked about this earlier in the season. You can see how good Coleman is. And I've talked to his dad, you know, a few times, and, you know, we even chatted tonight a little bit, and he just said to me, Kedrick, I'm not surprised. I've seen my son do this all the time. I'm not just a dad, but I know he has potential and I know how good he can be. And I've seen it before. So this is not a surprise to him, but he changes the whole dynamics of the Illinois basketball team. Cause I mean, we knew he was going to be good, but nobody expected what we've seen so far in the first couple games of the season.
Yeah, I have to admit, Coleman Hawkins has just you can tell that the offseason work that he has done has been focused, and it has really been a benefit to him, and it'll be a benefit to the Illini. I'll give a lot of credit to the coaching staff for the way they develop players, the way Fletch develops the physical attributes of the kids, just a total improvement what we see there off season with Coleman. And you know, it's maybe you give Io a little bit credit for kind of showing the way. We also have Brad Sturdy, who's on board now as well. Brad, what'd you think of Coleman Hawkins and the performance that he put on tonight, especially in that first half when the game was still a game?
I thought Coleman was great. I mean, his ability to, you know, score, obviously, but his rebounding, his shot blocking, his ability, his passing, just such a skilled kid. And, you know, now, you know, he's 6'10". He's got, you know, great length, and he's really developed his body and become more of an explosive player. And now we're going to see what he does on Monday against a little bit more size. And so that'd be fun. I thought Coleman actually did a good job against a guy who's, you know, a lot of people don't realize the Arkansas State big man, although he's only 6'7", he is the conference player of the year preseason. He's really good. I mean, we were talking before the game, and I'd love to have him on Illinois. He's that level of player. So they have three legit high major guys. So that was a good win, and Coleman Hawkins was great.
Yeah, it was fun to watch him play, and you know, even taking the charge the way he did. And like you said, he dropped some nice dimes, just a heck of a performance. And, you know, I'm going to say something that's really probably wrong to the ears of a lot of Illini fans, but you guys can give me your feedback on this. Do you guys think that maybe, just maybe, and this pains me to have to say this, is Kofi's suspension a little bit of a benefit to the Illini because it's allowed Coleman Hawkins to come out and show what he's got, and then let the coaching staff kind of think and what they can do to integrate, you know, Coleman with Kofi later on. Brad, I'll let you go first, and then we'll go ahead and have Ked on.
If they beat Marquette, then sure. That was a great thing. I mean, you got to win the third game, and that's the toughest game. It's on the road. It's at Marquette. And I know that they're not a world beater, but they're a top 100 team. They're a team that can beat you if you don't give good effort and don't have a good game. So, yeah, I think this allows the emergence of Benjamin Bosman's Verdonk as a legit big man option. It's also allowed Coleman Hawkins to expand his game, Jacob Grandison to be more of an offensive threat. You know what you're getting from Curbelo and Frazier. And you know, so this has been great. I mean, in the sense that, you know, you've got a lot of production now. This team's really good. I think legit, even without Kofi, this is a top 15, top 20 team. They're ranked about right by some people right now without Kofi. You had Kofi, this is a top 5 team. I don't think if anybody doesn't think they're a top 5 team, then I think they just don't watch and don't pay attention.
Ted?
Well, you know, my thing with Coleman and, you know, and with Kofi sitting out, I think it's a combination of Curbelo sitting out and Trent sitting out and DeMonte and Austin Hutcherson. I mean, because the kid went from playing, you know, he was a four, then he, you know, ended up having to play point guard because all the guards were out. So I think it's a blessing. And to be honest with you guys, I don't know what Brad's going to do. And, you know, it's hard to say who's going to be in the lineup, but there's no way in this world that kid cannot be in the starting lineup. And that's one of the things we were talking about. We were kind of curious to see, once they had a full roster, who was going to be that next guy. And no disrespect to DeMonte or, you know, or whoever. I don't know. There's no way you can keep a guy like that out, because from what I've seen, a lot of people nationally, granted the competition hasn't been great, but a lot of people nationally are starting to pick up, you know, with what he's doing as well. And it's a blessing. It's a nice addition. You know, I can tell you right now, Brad mentioned about Marquette. Marquette is tough defensively, and I think they struggle scoring. But my concerns for them Monday, which I'm sure we'll talk about here in a second, you know, I have a lot of concerns with Illinois going into that Marquette game. I have to be honest with you. On paper, they looked pretty good tonight because, you know, they blew out a team that was pretty decent, but I have some concerns.
So, Ked, we'll kind of round that about then. Let's kind of finish on this. Brad, what else did you see today that really piqued your interest in the game tonight against Arkansas State before we move into a little bit of Marquette talk?
Obviously, you know, getting Andre Curbelo back allows Illinois to run their offense the way they want to run it. And they ran so many simple little, you know, ball screen sets, you know, ball screen into a, you know, basically a brush screen into a ball screen, or a, you know, basically a fake screen at the top into a ball screen from the 4 or 5. It's a lot of little things. Ball screens in transition with Curbelo and Frazier changed everything. So you got to see more fluid offense, and that was more fun to watch. They had 92 points with 5 minutes to go, and then only scored 2 after that because it really didn't, you know, they had all subs in there. So that was great. The second thing I'll say is Trent Frazier is the best defensive guard in the country. Tonight, what he did, I don't think, and I don't know if people appreciate what he does. So Illinois started him on Sills because Sills is obviously the kid who had 6 20-point games last year with Arkansas. So, or last 2 years with Arkansas or whatever. So this is the kid who can score the ball. They put Trent on him. He can't score, but Eden starts going off. So they just put Trent over on Eden, and then Eden can't score. It doesn't matter who he's guarding. And when they hit a shot, it's a tough shot. He makes everything difficult. He just is a dominant guard defender, and that is not easy to do when you're 6'1", or 6'1".
It's hard to screen. Yes, it's hard to screen him. I mean, he's so strong. Yes.
He doesn't get screened. He knows how to take angles. He just he's so good. He reminds me of, you know, he's a great on-ball defender, like in reminiscent of like in what Aaron Kraft used to do at Ohio State. But I think he's even better at not getting screened maybe than Kraft was. And he's more athletic. I mean, Trent is a freakish athlete. People don't appreciate how athletic he is. The guy could probably play 2 games. He could probably play 1 game and then play the other game and never get tired. just an amazing. I don't think people realize how athletic he is, the things that he does from an athletic standpoint. But yeah, Trent Frazier, he just blew me away again tonight with his defensive, with the job he did defensively.
Ked, anything that you picked up on outside of, you know, what Brad talked about? Because I know Frazier just kind of, he's kind of like the old Arnold movie, The Eraser, because it's kind of like whoever he's guarding, well, we can just erase them right out of the offense. But what did you see, Ked?
You know, I kind of feel bad for Trent and Damonte a little bit because I think so many people were excited about the new guys. You forget about what Trent and Damonte bring to the table. You know, Damonte defends. I mean, he's not going to come out and, you know, score 20 points a game. But the thing I will say about him, he looks a little bit different offensively. He's not just looking to shoot threes. He's put the ball on the floor, not when he was only playing point guard, but he did it a couple times today. I think that's going to be nice to see him not be so one-dimensional. I think he brings much more to, you know, to the table than just shooting threes. I like the fact that they have a lot of combinations that they can throw out there. But, you know, not to give Trent his credit, I mean, he's an older kid, but people look at the X's and O's and to see what coaches are trying to do, it's easy to pick up how good of a job Trent did. And, you know, and I'm going to be honest with you, I think Jacob Granison's another one of those guys. They just do the little things that some people just don't see when things are going bad. You know, they get a bucket, they get a rebound. It's little things like that. And to take away a defender, to take away an offensive threat is huge because, like we all know, the schedule is going to get tougher here. And it's not just going to have to be Trent. It's going to be a multiple group of guys who are going to have to defend because it's going to be a lot tougher for them coming up here.
Yeah, and the other thing I thought was really crazy was the first two times Damonte went down the lane with the ball, he got kind of slapped in the face pretty hard, couldn't get a – I think it was the third time that he got hit in the lane that he finally got a foul called for him. And I was thinking, is there an Illini guy's curse for guys driving the ball since now he's one of us on our weekly radio show, the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular? Man, did you guys notice the first couple times he just got hammered and got no called going down the lane?
It was a physical game.
Yeah.
There was no question. There were a lot of fouls that didn't get called, and then they call. You know, it was one of those games where they didn't call the fouls when guys would get bludgeoned going to the hoop, but then they call an illegal screen, or they would call two guys fighting for position in the post. It was basically all that's wrong with officiating in the NCAA.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I totally can understand where you're coming from with that because it was a little crazy on what they were and were not calling. So, Ked, you talk about some of the things that you're a little bit concerned about with the Illini team going into Marquette. What are you concerned about right now?
Well, it's not just tonight. I mean, I don't have the numbers from the last game, but 5 of 25 shooting three. I'm kind of struggling with that a little bit. I've not seen them shoot the ball extremely well yet. I mean, you've had a couple guys go on stretches. I mean, as good as Coleman Hawkins has played, I think he only attempted 1 3 tonight. I just want to see them shoot the three ball. That was one of the things or strengths that we all talked about coming into the season that it's a strength of theirs. And tonight, I didn't see it. And I can also tell you another concern is shooting 60% from the free throw line. To be a good team, to be a great team, you know, you have to be able to be good at everything. And Illinois has the talent to do that. But what I don't like is I see them falling asleep a little bit. I see them looking disinterested and like they could turn on and turn off. I think they miss Isle. I think last year, he would, no matter who they were playing, he would have not allowed that kind of, you know, lackadaisical performance. I just, for me, shooting. And then also the fouls. Some of those fouls that people don't understand, those are turnovers and they're wasted possessions. And it was a physical game, but against a team like Marquette that you're better than, if they come out and shoot 20% from three and 55% from the free throw line on the road, you're not winning that game, regardless of who they have coming back. So I'd like to see them shoot a little bit better. And I also like to see them stop fouling and to also be able to defend a little bit better on the perimeter. Because there's guys who get – the guard is still being broken down at the top, which I know Coach Underwood talked about, and he's going to address that as well.
Brad, anything that you would talk about in addition to that or anything you would counter based on what you're seeing?
Now, they did score 92 points still, so don't get me wrong.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I'm with you. Yeah.
Yeah, I actually wrote about that in the post game. You know, their ability to, you know, only shoot 59% from the line and 20% from three and still score 92 points. That was in our, you know, three takeaways that I had. I think, yeah, their shooting woes. It's a concern, I think. But the other part about, like, not shooting the ball well is a lot of these guys, it's their first time playing in the atmosphere in front of a crowd. It's their first time playing in this system where they want to get up and down and push the ball. And despite the fact that you do it in practice, you'd be in great condition, it's still different when you get out game speed and you have to defend. So I think sometimes you got to get your legs under you. We've seen this common. It's been common, you know, when we watch really good teams play early in the year, offenses struggle. And not necessarily because of the defense, always because they don't shoot the ball well. So I think that's a thing, a rhythm thing. I think that playing these two games are going to be huge for Monday at Marquette, and also later on when they're playing Cincinnati or either Arkansas or Kansas State, you know, coming up. So these are the types of things that you look for and you want to get better. The way I look at it, though, you have guys who've been playing in college. Alfonso Plummer's been in college, you know, for 4 years. He's a 40% career three-point shooter. I think he's going to figure it out. So you can look at it. When they revert to the mean, you know, when you think about that, that means they're probably going to make – one of these days they're going to have a game where they're hitting like 14 or 15 out of 25, and you're going to be like, wow, you know, eventually it evens out. So I guess maybe it's good to miss them like when you're playing Arkansas State and Jackson State as opposed to when you're playing Marquette, Cincinnati, and Arkansas. So I think that's going to happen because they're a good shooting team. These guys can shoot. That's kind of what I said. I mean, you know, you got to do it in the game, but you know they can shoot. They've done it previously.
Yeah, yeah. I got to admit, I rarely do you see a team that wins a game by almost 40 points and they're shooting 20% from the three. I was amazed, kind of the same thing. Now I'm going to have to change my my article a little bit because you've already kind of got there. But that was something that stood out to me when I looked at the stat sheet. You know, most of the time it seems like in today's game, your blowouts are keyed by some sort of run that ends up, you know, you know, in a blowout like this, you end up shooting at least 40% from the three, and you'll have those nights where you do the 50 or 60, and then, you know, that's usually what a 40-point blowout is hooked by. So as we kind of look at the you know, kind of wrapping up here, Ted, why don't we do your final thoughts, and then we'll have Brad kind of wrap things up in a bow for our Illini guys listeners.
Well, I'm kind of excited to see them play Marquette, to go on the road to face some competition. I think it's going to be good for them. I really want to see, you know, I think that it's been too easy for Carbello. Now I want to see him step up his game and be this potential All-American that we all talked about. I want to see that. So it'd be nice to just see them play a good team and on the road and then grow from it. Hopefully they win, you know, and then, you know, they can go to Kansas City and do well. So, again, you never apologize at all for a win. I'm not mad about it. I just – the expectations are really high. And I'll close it with this. Brad's right. You know, they're doing this without Kofi. And can you imagine what it's going to be like when he's back?
Yeah, it should be really fun. Brad, why don't you take us home here then as the resident Illini insider and tell us your final thoughts here.
Well, of course, I have to mention, you know, Illinois did have Illinois had a priority 2022 recruit Ty Rogers on campus today. Rogers actually went back after the game into the locker room. He was down there at halftime. Kofi grabbed him, took him down. He was there with his high school and AAU coach, Ty Street. I got to talk to them at halftime. He didn't want to do any interviews, but I'll tell you, you know, Illinois is in a really good position with Ty Rogers. Have a great shot at landing him. And so that's very exciting for them. So as far as the team, this is the most complete Illinois team since 2005. They have the ability to score in multiple ways. They can defend. And if you remember that 2005 team just came out and dominated teams, like just blitzed them, just like this team did tonight. I think this team, if
tweet. That right there, folks, should give you all your reasons why you want to join the IlliniGuys.com, because you'll get all the inside information from Brad and Ked back in our message boards. You get all the podcasts, you get all that. But more importantly, you get that during another one of those fantastic years. And you know, as somebody who's an older Illini fan, I can tell you that the special years, you have to savor every minute of it, because you just never know when the next year is going to be great. We may be in that rare occurrence like what we had in the 80s, you know, when you had Ephraim and Bruce Douglas, not knowing that just a few years down the road you were going to see the Flying Illini. And here we've gotten, you know, two special years in a row, back to back. Maybe Coach Underwood plans are to get 3, 4, and 5 following them up. But this is going to be a fantastic year. And I have to admit, it's back to Illinois appointment basketball, where you have it on your calendar and you're like, there's a 6 o'clock game. So I can't have a meeting scheduled at work after 4 o'clock, because I got to be able to get home, or what, you know, however you're doing it. This is going to be a great year.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, you can definitely see that.
Remember on Channel 3, they used to have those kids out playing, and they'd yell out, "Hey, the Illini are on!" And the kids would run in, and that's what we need. We're back there again.
Yeah, I think I think you're right. I remember those back in the day, and this is going to be something special. So, you know, as you guys listen to our podcast, we obviously put one out on the Eye on the Illini every game, post game. We also have different ones out there as well. Brad does his weekly, or does his Sturdy for 30, where he has interviews, but he also does a preview for the games. So you can catch, you want to make sure you download Sturdy for 30. And then Ked's Recruiting Roundup is another one that you want to subscribe to. So you need to really have all three of those on subscription. Ked just had one on the new football commitment. And boy, if you want to hear about a kid, TJ Warren, you want to hear about a kid who really has his head on straight and just has a fantastic mom who's raised him. And you want to listen to somebody who appreciates the good things in life. So many times we hear about athletes, it's just, you know, we hear about the problem children and the folks who are having challenges in life. But here's a kid who is just a fantastic kid. And again, Ked's Recruiting Roundup, you gotta get that. You gotta get Sturdy for 30, and you want to get Eye on the Illini. And then if you make sure you listen to the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular on the weekends, you're going to be fairly well in the know. Last component is to subscribe to IlliniGuys.com. Then you get all the information behind the scenes. So with that, folks, a great victory. You know, we'll be back late on Monday night, hopefully after a victory at Marquette, and we'll be breaking that game down as well. So for Kedrick Prince and for Brad Sturdy, this is Mike Kegley saying thank you so much. And we will talk to you soon.